As we're watching the storm on the Gulf Coast, there is also news in the Russia investigation. The Washington Post first reported about a deal that two of President Trump's associates were trying to put together 2 years ago in the months after Trump announced he was running for president to build a Trump Tower in Moscow. When the deal stalled, Trump's lawyer Michael Cohen emailed Russian President Vladimir Putin's spokesman about it to get Putin's team on board. And Russian-born developer Felix Sater wrote to Cohen about the deal saying, quote, "Our boy can become president of the U.S. and we can engineer it." Joining us now, Washington Post reporter Carol Lenig. Hi, Carol.
Hi, Jeremy.
And Tim O'Brien is with us, executive editor of Bloomberg View and author of the Trump biography Trump Nation, The Art of Being the Donald. Tim, welcome to you.
Hi, Jeremy.
And Carol, let me start with you and your reporting in The Washington Post. Just tell us more about what you've learned.
Well, you know, what's so fascinating about this whole Russia probe and looking into potential collusion with American political campaigns, in this case, the Trump campaign, is that each little drip makes you understand the last drip better. And I feel that at least in the last two stories we broke, one on Sunday night and another on Monday afternoon, we're starting to get a better flavor of how Donald Trump's business really intersected with Moscow in a significant way, and whether or not the candidate at the time knew all the details of it, his team at Trump.org and his very, very trusted confidant and business negotiator was pushing pretty hard for a Moscow tower, so hard that at the suggestion of a longtime friend and a Russian-born broker, he went to one of Putin's sort of top gatekeepers, Dmitry Peskov.
And Trump has said, by the way, all along, he never did any deals with Russia, right?
Yes. And this kind of, I mean, this, as I said a couple of times in the last 24 hours, this doesn't make a liar out of the president. What it does is say that he wasn't entirely forthright about the degree to which his company was pushing for this for many, many months after he announced he was campaigning. And in these emails, and as they were described to us on Sunday night and then reported in more detail in the Times, in these emails, you see that at least the broker for this deal was definitely connecting the president's the campaign for the presidency and this business, that the two would essentially benefit each other. They'd all be celebrating one day a great tower, the highest skyscraper in European history, and they'd be celebrating a new Donald Trump as president.
Tell us about Felix Sater, Tim O'Brien.
Well, Felix Sater was a partner with the president at a company called the Bayrock Group, which operated two floors beneath the Trump Organization inside Trump Tower. Felix is a career criminal with organized crime ties. He had cooperated with the federal government procuring loose Stinger missiles, and that cooperation agreement allowed him to avoid prison time for a fairly sprawling investment scam that he had been part of in the late 90s that targeted senior citizens and Holocaust survivors. And Bayrock and Sater partnered with Trump and the Trump Organization on a series of real estate deals, the most significant one of which was the Trump Soho Hotel and Condominium in Lower Manhattan. Hmm. And it eventually went into foreclosure. I was at the New York Times at the time, and Trump sued me for my book. And during the course of the litigation for that book, we deposed both Trump and Felix Sater. And my lawyers asked Trump, are you aware of Felix Sater's organized crime ties? Do they concern you? Is this somebody you're comfortable doing business with, et cetera, et cetera? And he said he wasn't aware of the crime ties, but he would take a close look and then make a decision. 15 years after they first began doing business together, it appears that Sater can still walk in and out of the Trump Organization and try to engineer the kind of deals that Carol has reported and others have reported on as well in Moscow.
And what about the comments that he made, according to the New York Times and others, that our boy can become president of the U.S. and we can engineer it? How would Trump having a tower in Moscow make it more likely that he'd be president of the United States?
Well, I think it's worth stepping back for 1 second to also remember that it was not unusual for the Trump Organization to often operate in comically inept ways. It wasn't a company that attracted A-plus real estate people from around the world. It was a one-man show, in a lot of ways similar to the way the White House is operating now, where it was a cult of personality around one individual who tried to do things his way. And Sater and Michael Cohen had everything to gain by making large promises to the president about what they might be able to deliver to him. However, I think the other larger point here is that he did have partnerships in the United States with people who ran businesses that could have been very robust conduits for dirty money from Russia or other parts of the world.
Carol Lenning, let's take a step back here, because this is just the latest tick in this ongoing story. And we know that it was just earlier this month that the special counsel Robert Mueller impaneled a grand jury. What do we know at this point about where this investigation by Mueller is going?
So you don't learn a lot from Bob Mueller on the dinner circuit telling you a little bit about his probe. It's particularly secretive, and a grand jury should be. A prosecutor should not be discussing what they're doing before a grand jury. However, you see the echoes of what they're doing through a lot of different people who are getting subpoenas, who are getting interviewed by FBI agents, who are, in the case of Paul Manafort, having their door pushed open at 6 o'clock in the morning while agents execute a search warrant. So the things that we've learned thus far are that Bob Mueller's team is, which again started just in May, it's not very long ago, has zeroed in very, very hard on Paul Manafort, the former chairman of Trump's campaign, and also on Michael Flynn, who was an early advisor to the candidate, Donald Trump, and named very quickly as the likely national security advisor if Trump was elected. Of course, he only lasted in that job for about 22 days. But both of those people have considerable legal jeopardy, experts tell us, because they did not disclose lobbying they were doing on behalf of foreign governments. Many firms in Washington, lobbying firms, have received subpoenas. And what we've learned is that the questions and the records that are being sought really center on these two questions. How were they getting paid? And second, how honest and transparent were Flynn and Manafort with their vendors and their colleagues and their contractors about what they were really doing? What was the project that they were hiring them to do?
All right, let me just ask you both just a quick question, quick answer here. How long do you think that this probe is going to go on, Carol?
Well, first, it's going to be a lot longer than the White House is predicting. I would say a year or more. And I do think that this prosecutor has a vaunted reputation. He's also an extremely methodical bricklayer, and he's going to take a long time working his way out from the outer circles in towards the issue of the crime of collusion. And I don't mean collusion with the Trump campaign, but the actual effort to interfere with our campaign. That's going to take a long time.
Tim, what do you think? How long will it take?
You can look back at other investigations involving a special counsel or a special prosecutor in Washington. I think the most recent one with the Valerie Plame investigation was relatively quick, and that was 3 years. So I think this will go on for quite some time. I agree with Carol that Bob Mueller is methodical. He's going to want to make sure everything he has is airtight. I think the fact that he went to a grand jury recently suggests that he already believes he's got enough evidence around certain individuals to convince a grand jury that he's got a right to move forward prosecutorially. Some of these big players
aren't. In other words, he's already got evidence of a crime.
Yeah, he's already got evidence of a crime. But again, some of this, I think, are people around the edges of this. And as he moves towards the center and begins to examine the president's own role in this, it could take a very long time.
That's Tim O'Brien, who is executive editor of Bloomberg View and author of the Trump biography, Trump Nation, The Art of Being the Donald. And Carol Lenning, reporter with The Washington Post. Thanks to both of you for joining us.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Thanks, Jeremy.